John Perlman on 702. Let's walk the talk.
Right, let's turn to that other big and very, very important story. I referred to the assassination of insolvency practitioner Clutha Murray, and he, together with his son Thomas Murray, who works as liquidators, people in business rescue. It's possible that I'm lumping together a whole lot of terms that may not belong together. But they were assassinated, and they've been doing some important work, and some of it relates to the corruption that was outlined and unfolded in the course of the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. They have been looking into issues around Bosasa, doing the work there. They were also a liquidator of Trillion Management Consulting, a subsidiary of the Gupta Link Trillion Capital Partners. But to get some background on all of this, we're now joined by Roxanne Webster, who is the director in the Business Rescue Restructuring and Insolvency Sector at CDH. Ms. Webster, welcome and thanks very much for your time. Is it common in that area of business, given how much money is on the line and indeed just how fractious the things that precede these business rescues often are, that people doing this kind of work feel threatened? I mean, do you have colleagues who've said, this is getting a little bit edgy, this could get dangerous?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Certainly, this is a very unique situation that has happened in the industry, and we are all deeply saddened and devastated by the news. And given this sadness and devastation, it certainly shows you that it's not something that happens very often in our industry or at all in our industry.
Right.
Clutha was a major player in the insolvency industry and well respected by many. So it's certainly not a regular occurrence within the insolvency and business rescue space.
What about threats? I mean, clearly, and by the way, I neglected to offer condolences to you and others who knew Clutha and Thomas, and please do pass those on if you can. But let's go a couple of steps back from the brutality of this assassination and the level of escalation that represents. Are threats common? Do people work under the kind of pressure that suggests that it can get personal and not just legal?
I mean, as I mentioned, it's not very common.
Yeah.
But what we are seeing in these recent times with the state capture and the Zondo Commission and the Gupta companies having gone into liquidation and all of those companies that you've mentioned, obviously someone needs to be appointed in order to assist in liquidating and winding up that estate. And obviously, as a liquidator, there's certain powers and duties that you have in terms of the Insolvency Act and the Companies Act. And those powers and duties are to investigate and interrogate the trade dealings and affairs of the company. So you can actually do your job as a liquidator, which is to maximize the payout for creditors. So you, as a liquidator, need to investigate where the funds lie, where has the funds gone to, where are the assets, where
yes.
Do the assets, what assets need to be uncovered, so you can eventually pay out the creditors. So certainly where in these type of matters where you now have some political involvement, interference, fraud or corruption, those type of these concerns now are coming to the fore.
I want to understand, as a process is unfolding with a business rescue practitioner's work, and I suppose this goes to what might happen next with the forensic work that they're doing. What's kind of best practice? I mean, would all the work that they've done actually have been stored? Would there be a larger team working on this? Is it reasonable to expect that despite this tragedy, the work can and will go on?
Certainly. So let's just, there's a distinction between liquidators and business rescue practitioners.
Okay.
So insolvent liquidators are when the company is being wound up, and business rescue practitioners and we're trying to save the company. But despite that distinction, there is a team behind both the liquidators and the business rescue practitioners in their respective fields. And that team obviously concludes of the liquidators, their team, their forensic team, their attorneys like myself. So there's in these larger, bigger matters, there are often a host of team members that comprise of the team and that assist the liquidator or the business rescue practitioner in fulfilling their duties. So that definitely means it be the information, whatever that information may be, whatever steps need to be taken further thereafter in concluding the investigations, that can still continue.
My mind, Ms. Webster, went back to an incident which is actually further back than I thought. I thought it was more recent. But actually in October 2013, Lawrence Mwepi, who was Director of Forensic Services at the Auditor Sizwe and Saluba Gobodo, was shot dead at the company's office. And much was said at the time that he was looking into issues around the arms deal. To the best of my knowledge, that matter was never resolved. The police never actually found anyone. No trial, no conviction. I know this may be, but do you think the fact that that was never solved may have emboldened people 10 years later, or do you think there's no connection?
It's difficult for me to speculate whether there's a connection or not, but I think these, like we've seen with Babita Diokaran as well.
Yes,
I think that was also last year. The same tragic, not the same, but a tragic also killing of her where she was involved. I'm not connecting anything, but where she was also doing her job in the industry. And her job included investigation, fraud and corruption, etc. But I don't know how far that investigation has actually gone and whether those perpetrators have been brought to book and whether the information that she had actually reached where it needed to go to. So unfortunately, there's a lot of speculation and media when it comes to the tragic event.
Yes.
But very, it dies down very later on, so you don't actually find out what the connection. So the public, unfortunately, cannot find out what the connection is unless the media stays on it.
And just finally, I mean, in the broad industry that you're part of, this is obviously meant because from what you're saying, it's not going to stop an investigation in its tracks. There was no documents stolen, nothing destroyed, and so on. But the conversations that have been going around on the last 48 hours, do you think some people might be saying, you know what, this Zondo stuff, the state corruption stuff, I'd rather not touch it?
I think that rings true for any profession where it's now being included, or like I say, there's political interference or fraud or corruption. It rings true for any of the industries. And I think any of the industries having now, because it includes forensic auditors as well, who have sat on that commission and have gone through the evidence, who have at sight of the information that has come through those commissions. So I think it rings true for any and all industries now. And it's just unfortunate now that the insolvency industry is now taking front media center with the unfortunate and devastating killing of Twitter. But I think for all industries, it's a deep concern that the bell should be rung for all industries and not just the insolvency.
Yes. And just finally, Roxanne, I mean, you mentioned that he was quite a giant in the space in which you work, that he's somebody you knew. I mean, abiding memories of him, for if somebody were to say to you, what was Clutha Murray like, and indeed his son Thomas, what would you say about them?
So I think to all of us was, as I said, he was this giant in the insolvency industry, no nonsense type of guy. He wanted to do the best for his clients and for all the creditors and uncover anything and everything that needed to be set straight and recovered for the entities and the entities that he represented as liquidators. So, and he was very open guy. You could speak to him. Many of us were always, you would give him a call if you had any insolvency-related issues, because he was just, he made news in the insolvency industry. He was part of most of the leading insolvency cases in the High Court, the Supreme Court, and the Constitutional Court. So he was a very impressionable guy, very loved in the insolvency industry. And his son, Thomas, was starting to walk in his footsteps. And effectively, if Clutha retired, Thomas could then step in and fulfill that role. So, as I said, it's a huge loss for the insolvency industry.
Thanks so much, Roxanne Webster, Director in the Business Rescue, Restructuring and Insolvency Directorate at the law firm CDH. And once again, our condolences to you and anyone else who knew Clutha and Thomas Murray. Well, Clutha Murray was one of the many fascinating guests that joined Bruce Whitfield on The Money Show. I'm sure Bruce will make this part of his conversation this evening. We will be talking to Bruce, by the way, in about 5 minutes' time. But this was a particularly relevant excerpt from the conversation that Bruce had with him. I'll put up a link to that on my Twitter timeline, and you can go and listen to the full interview in your own time. But listen to this one more time.
Are all of the bad guys you deal with charming, particularly the high-profile ones, the super-rich ones, the ones that make it into the headlines?
Interestingly enough, yes, with the exception of one or two individuals. But they
like
all seem to be very charming. But I must say, you know, that charm seems to go away quite quickly once you start going into a conflict situation. Charm disappears, and often you really see the dark side of that person. But they all start off charming. They all seem to be wanting to cooperate, but often that leads to the right opposite.
Bruce Whitfield talking to Clutha Murray on A Money Show Pass. Bruce with us a little later. It's 5:24.